any of your formative crushes cartoon characters? Are any of your current crushes cartoon characters? If so, you and I have something in common. Hooray! I'm comedy writer and 41-year-old child Gabby Hutchinson Crouch, and the fanfic I've written about some cartoon characters would make a trucker blush. Why are they hot? I'm going to find out. With the help of some funny guests who are here for a chat about the animated characters that give them little floating hearts around their heads. Will we find something out about early crushes, pop culture and sexuality, or will we just chat about two-dimensional ass cheeks? Whatever we do, I hope it'll help you rest assured that the fanfic you wrote about Smurfette discovering she's into feet is absolutely fine. Welcome to Curiously Drawn. With me this episode is a comedian, writer and actor whose stand-up shows have been chosen as Pick of the Fringe and nominated for a Scottish Comedy Award. Her writing credits include The News Quiz, Hypothetical and The Beano, and you may have seen her in one of her viral videos as Craig, the tour guide who doesn't give a fuck. She and I are on a WhatsApp group for comedy writers, and you'd think it would be hilarious and exciting, but these days it's mostly just questions about doing our tax returns. It's Eleanor Morton. Hello.
Hiya.
Hello. Hiya. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Thank you. We're doing a podcast at 11 in the morning. We both need coffee. Anyway. So you've given me, I contacted you about some cartoon characters that you might have a crush on, and you gave me a delightfully international bunch. I like that.
Yeah, very.
I like that you were slightly apologetic that they're all objectively hot as well. It's like, none of these are weird and funny, they're just hotties, and that's fine.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm very basic like that. I like attractive men. Drawn form.
Yeah, it's not that basic though, because it's an interesting mix of hotties that
Yeah, you're right, actually it is. I am interested.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're also trotting the globe. So I'm
we're going on a real trip.
Yeah. International 2D honey. So first of all we're gonna go to Russia. For a cheeky charmer. He's a brave servant boy turned floppy-fringed con man with a heart of gold and a music box in his pocket. He does briefly abduct an old lady, but it's for love, so it's okay. It's Dimitri. Yay. From Don Bluth is Anastasia or Anastasia. How's it pronounced? Anastasia, Anastasia?
Well, Americans say Anastasia, and it's their film. So.
It is there.
I mean, nothing else is historically accurate, so I don't think.
I mean, yeah, very much, it turns a well-known historical figure into a zombie.
Yeah, it takes the brutal murder of a teenage girl and says, what if she met a talking bat and fell in love? Do you know Lindsay Ellis, the video essayist?
I don't.
She does some great... Oh, she's so good. I think you'd like her. She does loads of like cool stuff on YouTube about media tropes and films. But years ago, she did a video about Anastasia. She pointed out how weird it was that they'd made this cartoon based on this real thing. And she's like, she anticipates that in 50 years, they'll do like a similar thing with Anne Frank, where Anne Frank's got like a fun little mouse friend and there's an evil Nazi, but they're also goofy. And it's like, this is a really dark bit of history that Don Bluth was like, why not?
Why not have a talking bat called Bartok?
Have you seen? Yeah, I assume you've seen it.
I haven't seen it because this was out. I'm a wee bit older than you, this was sort of out when I was like a snarky teenager. Although I have watched a lot of the Disneys from the sort of the late 90s. I love like Emperor's New Groove and Hercules and stuff like that. Was around the same era, but for some reason I just never got round to watching Anastasia. I think maybe because it was like, because like Emperor's New Groove and that's all like silly, whereas Anastasia looked like princesses and big dresses, and I wasn't that at 17. As a 17-year-old moody goth, you're not really gonna go and watch
that's fair. So, but now you can fully embrace that and go back to it, and I think you'd enjoy it. Yeah.
So yeah, I haven't seen it, but I did watch a YouTube video called Dimitri Being Charming for 5 minutes. I mean, I can kind of say, yeah, I can see the appeal. Why don't you talk me through the appeal of Dimitri?
Okay, well, you're probably going to see a pattern here in the guys. But it's not uncommon, I think, for children and teenage girls, guys who were naggy and a bit of a dick. But
the Chandler.
Yeah. I liked his... I think the very... I was thinking about the very early Disney princes and how bland and faceless they were compared to... I think he might have been the first guy... No, he's not Disney, obviously, he's Don Bluth. The first sort of prince character that I can think of. I'm sure there was others, but, you know, there wasn't just kind of this faceless... Like, I'm not very attracted to people, like, very handsome men who are very, like, perfect. That doesn't really appeal to me. I think they're very boring and bland. So he's got a bit of a crooked nose and he's a bit sarcastic and all that stuff that when you're a girl, you're told, like, if a guy's mean, that means he likes you. And then you're like, well, it happened in the film, so it's probably fine.
He does have a little bit of a spark, doesn't he? He's a little bit... He's not a bad boy at all. He's
no, that's the thing. Straight up bad boys, I think I was like, that's unhealthy. But this sort of slightly toxically, you know, out for himself entrepreneur is... he's my kind of guy. And of course, and I really liked her as well. I think she's very... The character is very, you know, she gives as good as she gets kind of thing. So. Yeah. I like the dynamic as well. I was attracted to the dynamic.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were someone else. Oh, it's you. Well, that's okay then.
Come on, we gotta go.
Where are we going?
I think you broke my nose.
Men are such babies.
Yeah, it's a little bit Beatrice and Benedict, isn't it? Like a little bit.
It is, and that's my favourite dynamic, I think.
It's hot.
Again, not... It is, and it's not good in real life.
No, but it's really sexy to watch. Like any two attractive characters where they're a little bit snarky is like, hello, you can solve this in bed.
Yeah.
You can overcome these problems with a little bit of horizontal tango.
Also, he is based, I think, slightly on his voice actor, and John Cusack is obviously a handsome man.
He's a handsome, toxic man. We've discovered, sadly, that Jonah's the good Cusack. Yeah, he's gone from being the sort of the moderate Cusack to being the no.
Yeah, the yikes
Cusack.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's not Dimitri's fault.
No, exactly. Dimitri is an innocent cartoon man. All he wanted to do was con people out of their money by pretending that a dead child was alive.
And con men in fiction are sexy. So we have been talking about, and I know he's going to come up again a lot, the Disney Robin Hood. Everybody loves that fox.
Oh, yeah.
He's a thief. Yeah. He's a trickster. We all like a little bit of a trickster. You know, Loki, you know, got Loki. Absolutely. Everyone's standing over Loki, who is a genocidal maniac. But he's also a wily, kind of sneaky, wiry con man.
Yeah.
And he's got that whole sort of, he's sort of wily, he's wiry, he's got his little waistcoats on. He's got his nice 20s waistcoats on. I do like that.
He does. Yes. Yes, and he's got. I think he's well animated. This is weird. I think the animation is quite realistic in not a weird way.
Yeah, he's got in Dimitri being charming for 5 minutes, which I put a lot of research into. You said you like well-researched podcasts before we started recording, and this is
the level
of my research. He did seem. Yeah, he's got that sort of. He's always sort of rolling his eyes and pulling faces and like. Yeah, it's fun. He's animated. He's literally animated. He's as you say, he's not just the Disney prince who stands there going, oh, ha, 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 I've seen you for 2 minutes and I love you.
I mean, I don't think you've ever looked at the prince from Snow White, like if you've ever just looked at his face, but he's kind of he's weird looking. I know they were just getting into animation, like they were just learning how to do people, but boy oh boy is that guy not attractive. Very bland.
I'll say that until somebody says the prince from Snow White on this podcast and they go, oh yeah, he's hot to trot.
Him, Prince Charming, who's the other one? Philip from Sleeping Beauty.
God.
but attractive.
I mean, bland. Also, we're all, if you're from the British Isles, then the words Prince Philip trigger something awful in you.
No, but that's, he was actually named after Prince Philip.
Oh, Jesus.
This is true. Because the Queen had only just been, the coronation was quite recent, and so they were quite big celebrities.
That's,
you know,
that's when Prince Philip was being played by Matt Smith, who was like, quite sexy.
Exactly. So yeah, no, that's an unfortunate but true story. It's weird, speaking of the classics, I've never been very in, I can see the appeal of like, I can't think of an animal one I fancied, you know, like a furry type thing. I was never into the beast. I was into him when he was a man, and I know that's very unpopular.
So you are the, so we've got an episode with Sarah Gibbs where she puts across the exact opposite argument to you. Like, she's got a whole raft of chimera that she's into. Like, not one of her fantasy men is entirely a man. Whereas we're going like, human all the way here. But the gamut of human. Humanity, the gamut of human masculinity here. I just before we move on, I'd like to say I really like his hair, Dimitri. He's got lovely, lovely floppy.
I like his hair. Isn't it
floppy
good?
Floppy 90s isn't hair.
Yes, curtains.
Yeah, we like a bit of curtains. Well, as I say, I grew up in the 90s, so I grew up around a plethora of curtains. That is a haircut. Dimitri's haircut is a haircut that turned me down at various school discos and left me weeping.
I mean, to bring up any bad memories.
No. Well, this is the thing. Curtains are coming back, apparently.
I know.
According to my daughter.
My brother's got them currently, but I think that might just because he hasn't been to the hairdresser for 6 months.
Well, they're becoming a style choice. Like, my daughter's really, if we ever go into animate on this thing, my daughter has got me into a bunch of them, and there's this character in Attack on Titan called Levi, who's got proper 90s curtains and an undercut, and she calls that haircut the Levi haircut. It's like, no, this is the haircut. It just reminds me
of time period.
Yeah, it just reminds me of crying in a corner as Whitney Houston played. Because some boy who's more into football than girls said no and has gone off to play football. Aww. And I'm crying on my own.
And that guy is now, I can't think of any footballers. He's now a footballer.
Well, he wouldn't be now because he'd be 41. He'd now be a football pundit.
That guy is now a football manager.
Yeah. Anyway, so but from wishing the boys who turned me down 25 years ago well, and I hope that they are doing very well, even though they're not married to an absolute stunner like me. We're going to move on from. If are you happy? Are you happy leaving Moscow / St. Petersburg / Paris, which is I think the journey that they take?
It is. There's a whole song about it. Oh. Yeah, no, let's do it. Let's
move on in distance and also time, because we're going to Iron Age China now, which I didn't realise when I looked it up when this film's set. It's set around the birth of Christ. We're up to Iron Age China for a military man who can fight topless, carry a yoke up a mountain, and sing about his rather blinkered view of masculinity, all in the same training montage. He's tranquil as the forest, but on fire within. He's everybody's favourite accidental pansexual, Li Shang from Mulan. Yeah, I've noticed that another theme to your crushes that you give me, as well as being... international human hotties, they all go on a bit of a journey. So Dimitri learned to stop kidnapping old ladies in the name of love. Whereas Li Shang learns to not be such a bloody sexist. But then, as I say, he is from like the first century BC. So yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, give him a break, guys.
Yeah. What do you like about Shang?
Oh, what do I not like? Mm. I think I like. I never saw him as sexist so much as like quite young and immature and like not really very good at sort of learning how to be mature and learning how to, you know, learning that there's more to life than just swords and making your dad proud. And I quite like the juxtaposition of that kind of vulnerability with the very hot body, basically. I think that might be the first Disney prince we've seen topless as well. Not that I've thought about it in detail, but yeah.
Aladdin was topless throughout, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I didn't notice. Wasn't interested, yeah. But there's a bit where he takes his shirt off for the practice, and Mulan like is looking at him, and it's like, yeah, I know how you feel.
I think this is the first time that Disney has had sort of male nudity seen through the female eye, whereas in Aladdin he just had a little vest because he was in a hot country and that was like the norm. In this one, he takes his top off and it is so that we can see a female character react to him with his top off, which is very he is the prize to be won, whereas that's not really the case in Aladdin.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that they had to play with gender here made them sort of look at all those aspects that they don't look at in the earlier films because, you know, they don't need to. And then suddenly it's like, what if I, you know, what if you had to pretend to be a man, but you were a woman? And how would that, you know, I mean, I love the whole film. I think it's my favourite maybe out of all the Disney films. Yes, he's just very attractive. Oh God, it's not very deep, Gabby.
He's a hot guy.
to use a very stereotypical Chinese characteristic cliche, I like his sense of honor, and also because he wants to please his dad, and that's just sweet. He wants to make his dad proud. Have you seen Mulan?
Yes, I've seen Mulan. It was, I mean, I know that this is, again, it's another sort of late 90s film, but yeah, with some of these films, it's films that I watched a lot with my daughter when my daughter was little. That was definitely one of them. And obviously with Mulan, you've got like for the really little ones, got Mushu to laugh at and stuff. And it's got some great music in it, Mulan. I really, really enjoy Mulan.
I was going to say, it's got a really nice mixture of fun Disney and kind of very, like, it doesn't take away from the very powerful scenes. And also just the animation is so good. Like the bit where the soldiers appear at the top of the ravine is just so, like, ooh, chills.
Yeah, it's another one like Hercules and like Empress New Groove as well, where in that sort of period in the late 90s, they started sort of playing with style a little bit and sort of changing, sort of moving away from that sort of more traditional Disney look. They started sort of making their films a lot more stylistic. Really, really good. Those late 90s ones where they were sort of starting to look a bit different. And I really like that really different look it's got. It doesn't look like the rest of the Disney films, which is good.
Yeah, I think it's the first time the animators started, looking into traditional stuff from each culture they were covering, and not that obviously, you know, Disney's infallible when it comes to like cultural appropriation, but I like that they tried to kind of incorporate the traditional styles of like Chinese, you know, calligraphy and things like that. It just gave it a much more unique feel than sort of, earlier Disney films where, for example, The Jungle Book, they don't go to, you know, the animators didn't go to India to have a look at, you know, Indian culture, and then they just sort of drew what they imagined was happening. So
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, I like that. So the things that I like about, I've sort of noted down a few things I like about Li Shang. As you say, he's like... I think he's the most sort of steadfast of all the choices that you've got. He's like the team dad, and I love a team dad, especially as I get a bit older. It's like, he's very sort of, he is,
isn't he? He's like, I'm in charge.
Yeah, he's the dependable, capable one. And even when he's like a little bit flustered by who he thinks is a boy that kind of likes, he's still sort of very, he's the boss. He's got a song to sing about how to become a better soldier. He's the guy you go to with your problems. Out of the three guys that you've chosen, he's the guy who would be driving the car.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, my God, yeah. I haven't tended to go for particularly sensible people. I don't know if that's the word, yeah. But yeah, no, he is. I do like his sense of leadership, which I don't tend to like. I guess I don't really tend to like in guys I cartoon men I fancy, because, you know, if they're in a leader position, that can be quite sort of toxic masculinity. But I think because he's so like young and vulnerable,
it's, yeah, he's not he's not toxic at all.
You are the craziest man I've ever met. And for that, I owe you my life. From now on, you have my trust.
He's just, yeah, he has a little bit he has a little bit of cultural misogyny going on with him. But then the whole point of that film is that all the blokes that she makes friends with learn to get over that. So he does get over that really quickly, and he goes on to goes through a nice little journey where he learns to respect women.
I like how angry he gets when he's defending her. That's nice. Also, I found this bit on the Disney fandom page for him. Right at the end of his trivia, it says, Li Shang's apparent interest in Mulan while she disguised herself as a man led fans to speculate on him being bisexual. This never received official confirmation.
Oh, of course it didn't. I like in Disney.
I like the idea that someone wrote in and was like, hi, just wondering.
If he was gonna be in any way non-heterosexual, he'd have to be a villain who's in it for 3 seconds and at one point just like blinks at another man, and then Disney would put out like loads and loads of press release about, you guys, we've got our first ever character. Give us a round of applause, please. And it's just James Corden playing an evil henchman going, ooh, donkey. And then that's it.
Oh, yeah. And then they'd be like, thank you for the Oscar for gender.
The best pansexual.
Recognition.
Yeah, I say he is a pansexual, and Disney can go and Disney can go and whistle.
They're very litigious, Gabby. Careful.
Oh, sorry. They can go and whistle if they want to.
Yeah, there you go. That's your lawyer will be fine with that. Yeah.
Well, we're staying with Disney, who can frankly go and fucking whistle. And we're back into the 20th century as well, and we're off to New Orleans for a problematic prince who learns to stop being such a blibbity gibbet through the twin powers of love and being turned into an amphibian. He's footloose and fancy free. He can chop a carrot, and he's made up, and he's from a made up generic hot country that could be North Africa, could be South America, could be somewhere in Asia. We don't know. It's Prince Naveen from The Princess and the Frog.
Yay!
We don't know where he's from. he's like deliberately. I looked up trying to say, because I always assumed that he was like from sort of North Africa, that the imaginary country he was from was maybe somewhere near Morocco or something with a name like Naveen. I thought maybe he was, sort of like North African or sort of Middle Eastern. And it says in the thing, nobody knows. He's like, he's just like a generic hot guy from somewhere below the Tropic of Cancer. Because his actor was Brazilian, so he's kind of got a sort of slightly Latin American accent, and he looks sort of slightly maybe Brazilian, maybe. Yeah, as I say, we don't know where he's from.
Mediterranean / Algerian / Argentinian. Like not quite, probably not white.
He's not white. He's definitely not
specific
white. Anything else. Yeah, not specifically. Yeah, yeah. He is legitimately a person of colour. We just don't know what colour that is.
I think I didn't realise until I got a bit older that America had such a huge... I mean, this is all getting quite... Sorry. All mine are quite dark. I've got, like, Anastasia, who was, like, a murdered teen, and then I've got, like, Li Shang and the politics of gender, and then I've got... I didn't realise that America was so tense about mixed-race relationships on screen, because when I was younger, I always thought, oh, isn't it funny that the black characters always get together? Mm. Like, that's weird, isn't it? And then when I was older, I was like, oh, because everyone, both communities, both white and black communities... That's what they want to see. They don't want to see anything else because, you know, it's just so politically charged. So what they've done here with Naveen is they've gone, well, he's not... I think they were going to make him white. They were going to give her a white prince. And then African-American people were like, well, you know, why can't she have a black prince? And then Disney were like, this is too, we're scared of this. Oh. We're going to make him from a country we nobody has, no, that's not real, so we don't have to deal with this issue. So that's why he's from non-specified land.
Yeah, and it's got quite a Western name. It's like, sounds like Moldova, I think. So it sounds quite European, the name of it. But it's,
yes,
it's very
exactly,
not
yeah.
European. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Because, I mean, I think, you know, this was the first black princess. There had been other princesses who weren't white, obviously, throughout the 90s. But this was the first princess who was actually black, actually, and just not just black, but African-American. You know, she was American.
Yeah.
And I think that that is a fair comment for the African-American community to make, that, you know,
absolutely.
Why can't our princess also have a prince who is, why make whiteness like the default for her romantic interest? That's interesting. That is an interesting reason for him to be just sort of generically hot and non-white.
I think what Disney went was when there was the backlash about him being white, they went, well, if we make him black, we're going to lose a ton of white people because, you know, that's sadly how the world works. So let's make him neither. Yeah. And then the racists won't really know what's happening and no one else could complain either.
I also think they're probably wrong about that. As recent films have shown, people will definitely go and see movies that have got barely
people will.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just think there's an idea in Disney and also other very traditional conservative kind of companies where they, in their head, they've got this huge imaginary Southern racist audience of people, and some of them aren't imaginary. Yeah. It's definitely a thing, but they've got this huge demographic in their head of people that they have to please, which is why, you know, which is why for most of American history, movie history, you don't see mixed race couples unless it's a story about them.
I think you and I both have experience of commissioners not being very creative in their thought of being quite conservative in what they think people want to see in here.
Exactly, they're so scared. Yes. They're so scared of pushing the boat out.
Female comedy writer problems just spilling out there into like the wider the wider filmmaking. Issue.
We're chill.
Yeah. So, I mean, this guy is another, he goes on another journey. I mean, it would be quite easy to make sort of comparisons between him and Dimitri because they're from the same era. And they're both kind of Jack the Lad types. But I think Prince Naveen is much more sort of carefree to the point of being a little bit stupid. I mean, he's very easily tricked.
I don't know what it is. I guess he's just very charming and confident.
He's so charming.
Very charming, because normally I wouldn't go for that kind of rich boy thing. But the whole point is that, he goes on a journey from being rich and spoiled to being like, maybe it's good to do your own, you know, earn your own money. Which, you know, is a more complex issue than Disney have made it out in this film, but that's not what they're there for. You know what? I am not a fairy, but I do find him charming as a frog.
He is charming. Well, he's just got a very charming personality. But in fact, I keep forgetting that he spends the vast majority of this film as a frog. and Tiana doesn't even see him as a human. She never sees him as a hot guy until they're literally married.
Lucky that he turned out to be a hot man. Imagine if she kissed him and he turned out, you know, I mean, fine, but she was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm married now. And also I think he's got a nice, they've got a nice back and forth going again. And he's sort of willing to learn stuff. I think that's quite cute. And he plays the ukulele, and that's always very charming.
That is charming. I like his little ukulele, where he shows up. Where he shows up right at the start. He's getting off the boat, playing his little ukulele to the girls and stuff.
Smile! I've been looking for you everywhere.
Oh, what a
a coincidence, Lawrence. I have been avoiding you everywhere. Oh, it's jazz music. It was born here.
It's beautiful, no?
That is cute.
Yeah.
You would have to go, yeah, fair enough, you're an ass, but you're a hot ass.
I think it's to show that he's like, look, he might be lazy, but he's talented. You know, he can do stuff if he tries.
I mean, that whole film's about jazz, isn't it? It's about the whole sort of jazz era and that joy, even in sort of the depths of sort of post-war and depression and sort of racial, horrible racial injustices. There's this sort of...
Again, mad era for them to choose to make a film about, but there you go.
They do at least bring that in a little bit with her problems getting a restaurant. But it is about, I mean, you know, New Orleans in the 1920s, if you're going to make it about jazz, it's going to have to be about black people, but obviously it's also going to have to have that element of the horrible racism that was...
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like how, you know, it's one of my favourite Disney films, actually, and I think it looks great. But yeah, I would be terrified personally to try and write a children's film about 1920s Southern USA.
Yes.
To be like, oh God.
Keeping it light, how do I do? But also not sweeping it under the carpet. That's always...
Yeah. Finding that balance of like, you know, between like, there's no racism here and everything is horrific and people can't even vote. So I think they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Considering it's for children.
And I think by making him not American, by making him this sort of charming member of the aristocracy who just sort of comes in, that sort of lightens it up. You know, you get the feeling that they definitely don't have those problems in whatever part, whatever continent he's from.
Maldovia,
yes, exactly. Wherever that is, they don't have that
wherever
problem there.
He's got that fairy tale element because he's a prince, obviously you could have a prince, and he kind of I think having a guy come in from completely somewhere else does kind of change the dynamic and make it a bit more light.
Yeah, and he sort of brings it. I mean, he literally brings the magic in that he gets cursed and then sort of hops around spreading his curse about. And he sort of brings the magic and the sort of the joy de vivre into the life of this very hardworking young woman.
She is a bit of a story of like, lighten up, love. But in a nice way.
But it's nice to have a story that actually centres around the sensible girl one. Because usually in these films where you got like a charming Jack the Lad who's a bit rubbish and a sensible girl one, it's usually centred around the charming Jack the Lad and the sensible girl one teaches him kung fu and then needs to be saved. In this one, at least, it's like it's all about the sensible girl one learning to just like enjoy her life a little bit more while she's still young. I do like that about it.
I think that's probably why that and Mulan are my favourite, because the princesses are a bit more relatable and a bit more like you know, she's obviously the idea is that she's meant to loosen up a bit and learn to dream, but at the same time it's like it's not insane of her to try and work hard to get where she
wants.
She doesn't have
to give up she's not required to do a Sandra D and just like drop all of her personality to fit in with this guy. It's about, in both cases, it's about like meeting in the middle.
I think so. She's just I think her and Mulan are just appeal to me the most as just like, I understand the choices they make more than, say, Pocahontas diving off waterfalls.
Cool. So we have had our international gamut of hot men who learn things. We've hit a lovely payload of hot male narrative tropes. Got the cynical charmer, the carefree charmer, and the sensible dad. And I think that's a nice I think that's a nice sort of a little smorgasbord of male character to have. So I've got one more question for you, Eleanor, and that is that if you could take one of these cartoon characters and bring him into the real world, make him real in 3D, who would you choose and would you attempt to pursue him in real life?
That's really hard. Okay, can I ask, is it them at the end of the film or the beginning?
At any point.
Okay. Ah, let me go with Dimitri, I think.
Mm.
At the end.
Would you try to pursue him?
Okay, actually, no. Can I change it to Naveen? Yeah. I think Dimitri's lifestyle is not stable enough. Yeah, maybe Naveen. Yeah, because he's now a bit more laid back. But
and he can cook.
You know, if his parents like me, there's always some backup money there. I don't think I'm in his league, but I'd certainly enjoy meeting him.
Yeah, we could at least go to, I'll tell you what, I'm including myself here now. We can go to Tiana's place and we can have a nice drink with him. And he'd be the kind of guy that even if he was married, he'd still flirt with the ladies. But you know that it would be safe flirting because.
Yes, my favourite kind.
So we could go to Tiana's place. He could serve us a lovely Creole dinner and just kind of flirt with us and we'd just all have a nice evening.
Perfect. There lovely.
We
go.
Brilliant. We solved that one. Eleanor, thank you so much. Before you go, have you got anything you want to plug?
I'm on all the social medias, unfortunately, at Eleanor Morton, and that's where I announce anything else I'm doing.
Yay. Thank you so much, Eleanor.
That's all right. Thanks for having me. It's fun.
Huge thanks to Eleanor Morton. I'm Gabby Hutchinson-Crouch. For more credits and details, see @curiously_drawn on Twitter.